Well, everyone, welcome to the second episode of the Inspired Podcast. This is your host, Alan Count, and today I'm here with a very special guest. His name is Alex Zavina.
How's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. Can you give an overview of, like, who you are and what it is that you do?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm a junior at UConn. My major is financial management.
Mm-hmm.
And this summer, I'm interning at IBM as a financial analyst.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and this past year, I've been a part of the student-managed fund at UConn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's taught me a lot about investing, evaluation, and all that. It's been an awesome time so far.
Gotcha. So I want to bring you back to when you came into UConn Stanford. What was your thought process like going into the school? Like, did you achieve what you wanted so far?
Yeah, so going into freshman year, it was kind of odd because I didn't know what to expect in Stanford. But then I realized, you know, there's a lot of opportunities, whether it's the BCLC. Mm-hmm. So I started in that. And then from there, I networked my way out. And I got my first internship at Parkview Advance. It's a small money managing firm in Stanford. And then from there, you know, I progressed. I made more connections. But overall, you know, it really progressed into something bigger. I didn't expect this,
mm-hmm.
But I knew it was something that I wanted to get into.
I gotcha. So you mentioned briefly that you had an internship at Parkview Advance. Can you talk a little bit more about initially, like, how did you get that internship initially? You were a freshman?
Yeah. Yep.
That's big. Freshmen don't get internships, you know? that's awesome. So if you could just talk about that.
Yeah, so two people from that company actually was on campus, and mm-hmm. they came up to me and they told me to apply, so I applied, got that, and it was cool for that winter. And then from there, I was able to leverage my experience, and then the summer of my sophomore year, going into my junior year, I got an internship at Vision Financial Markets as a securities risk intern. And from there, you know, I basically saw, like, the back end of all stock lending and stock, you know, all securities and all that. It was pretty cool to see that world.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
And, like, going into that process as a sophomore, like, I can only imagine. Did you feel, like, overwhelmed at any part of that internship?
Really? Definitely. So I didn't, at that point in schooling, you don't really take those finance-specific classes mm-hmm. at that point. So I was in that internship. I was trying to piece things together. So it was definitely tough at first, but, you know, it got easier as I went on. But that's the one thing, like, things are supposed to be tough, because when things are tough, you're able to grow from that.
Yeah, I hear that completely. That's the only way to grow,
exactly.
Really. I know for some students listening, they probably want to hear about, like, what was your day-to-day like, if you remember still.
Yeah, so the day-to-day at the brokerage firm, it was more of checking all of our securities that we have lent and make sure that we're charging a certain amount for that. So I basically optimized securities lending. So if we weren't charging people enough, I change that in the Excel spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm.
I pull companies' financials, and I basically did an audit for all of our counterparties. And that was, like, my big project for the internship. And I put that together in an Excel spreadsheet, and then it was brought to the owner,
mm-hmm.
And it was used to for their at yearly meeting. So that was pretty cool.
As a sophomore, that's huge.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Pretty huge, exactly. You know. So another question I had for you is just, like, I know the junior year is such, like, a pivotal year for, like, getting internships. And that recruiting process is stressful. Like, I know firsthand. I know plenty of people firsthand have had dealt with enormous amounts of stress. So I know you're going to be going to IBM this summer, and during this junior year recruiting process, talk about that stress. Like, I know you put the work in, grinded it out.
Yeah. So. It was stressful. So at first, so I work at Layla's Falafel.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I was able to meet a lot of people, just, you know, speaking to customers and seeing where they worked. Because in this Stanford, at Westport area, there's a lot of, you know, finance companies, a lot of, you know, big businesses. So I met this person, Dan. He worked at IBM,
mm-hmm.
And he put me in contact with a couple of his connections at IBM. And, you know, that was sophomore year. And then nothing really transpired from that. But then going into junior year, I reached out to him. He reached out to his buddies at IBM. And it was thankful for him because, you know, he really helped me out with getting that internship. And then I spoke to John Pirelli at UConn.
Wow.
He worked at IBM for 40 years. He's awesome. You know, he's been a great help in this process. And I spoke to him about what IBM is looking for in an intern. And I basically, like, fit the categories.
There we go.
I clean cut. But I'm glad I got it. And, you know, the interview process itself, it was pretty smooth. I had two interviews on one day with two people. And then
In person or virtual?
Virtual.
Okay.
And mostly everything now.
Yeah, everything's virtual.
It's virtual.
Yeah.
Unless you go into like a super day type interview. But had those two interviews on that one day. Then a couple days later, I got the email that I got it.
I know you were a happy man.
I was. It was, you know, it relieved a lot of stress because, you know, if you don't get an internship junior year, you may think it's the end of the world.
But for the viewers listening, it's not the end of the world.
It's
not the end of the world.
Exactly.
You just got to keep on putting that work in and keep on going, really.
Exactly.
You know, just get that experience wherever you can and just leverage those opportunities. Another opportunity, you talked about Layla's and networking there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge, man. Wow. Can you talk about any other times you've networked there? And if so, like, how has that helped? Like, how has working at Layla's helped translate into like a different area of your career in finance?
Definitely, yeah. So a big thing that I've learned at Layla's is, you know, the art of communication, the art of, you know, being effective at when you communicate. Because the worst thing is if you're talking to someone and it's just awkward, you know, they don't, you know, want to talk to you at all. You know, like you've got to be nice, like you've got to relate to them. You've got to make them like you. Because at the end of the day, you're selling yourself and you don't know when you're going to meet someone who's, you know, in a CEO role at BlackRock or at IBM. Like I met Dan at Alayla's Falafel. He's an awesome customer. I've seen him a lot. I spoke to him about it. He gave me some tips. And that's just one example of meeting people around the area. And then I networking from there. Like I've met people that are in BlackRock right now who are executive managers. I'm in contact with them. You know, I've met a lot of people in this journey.
And you're doing this only as a junior in college.
Yeah.
And you have so much time left.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. So you talked about the art of communication. I feel like you only get better at communicating by really like getting out there and speaking to people. I know in this day and age, especially with COVID happening about 4 years back now, that completely hindered a couple people.
Exactly.
You know, and is there any like books or stuff you like listen to that like maybe like helped you in maybe communication or just like success?
Yeah. One book in particular that really helped me in, you know, communicating and, you know, making friends in the industry is it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It's an awesome book. Awesome book. You know, it teaches you how to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you the ways to go about it. Because, you know, there's intricate details in how you're supposed to be a leader and how you go about situations. And that book has helped me tremendously.
Yeah, definitely. You just talked about being a leader, like being a part of the UConn-Stanford campus. I know you hold a couple of leadership positions right now. Can you talk about what made you want to become a leader? Have you always wanted to be a leader?
Yeah, so I mean, going back, it's like my high school days. I was a supervisor at the town camps, and you know, I was managing kids and, you know, employees, but it was still managing, being a leader. And then from there, just my want to lead people and, you know, to enable them to be their best, you know, grew exponentially, and I got into that position. And then now at UConn, as you mentioned, I'm the president of the Financial Management Club, and you're a part of that as well. But you know, it's been great. You know, I've been connecting with alums. I've been connecting with Skylar at Beckerman at UConn. He's been vital in this, and we've brought people in like the CEO of GE, and he's been awesome to us. And it was a great experience. We had a lunch and learn. And it was awesome. And then we also have a private equity person coming in soon to speak to us about that.
And when are they coming in? They're coming in Wednesday?
April 17th.
April 17th? Yeah, okay, yeah. Gotcha. If anyone's listening to this before April 17th, I would go check it out. What time is that at?
It's going
to
be at 12:30.
What room?
Room 2... I'm sorry, room 1...
127, I think?
I think 132.
132, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. I'll find that out.
Yeah. If anything, I'll leave a little link down below to confirm.
Exactly.
But you talked about managing kids at the time, and to now you're in the SMF, you're a student, you're in the student managed fund, and you're managing $1.5 million in assets at such a young age. Can you talk about that? Like, you just progressed so much in the past like four years.
Yeah, it's
that's amazing.
But yeah, like the process was I applied to that and I got in, and it's been a great experience so far. You know, I've pitched companies like Goldman Sachs, mm-hmm. Procter & Gamble, TJX, Cisco, and I would use quantitative and qualitative analysis, whether it's projecting its future cash flow from 5 to 7 years, or it's using, you know, qualitative analysis, like SWOT analysis and, Porter's Five Forces. It's been very cool to learn all that. And the classes I take at UConn, it's going hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting to learn that.
Now I have a question. What was your favorite pitch then? You know,
favorite pitch? Okay, I think it's going to have to be Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
So the basis of that pitch was, since interest rates are so high right now, Goldman Sachs makes most of their revenue from IPOs and M&A activity. And since IPO and M&A activities are so low right now, since the cost to borrow is so high, mm-hmm. my thesis was, since the Fed is going to cut interest rates in the next year or two, hopefully 3 more cuts by the end of this year.
Hopefully.
We'll see. Fingers crossed. But in turn, that would raise Goldman Sachs stock price. And of course, it's kind of weaved into the market because that's what people expect. But I still think there's opportunity for growth there. So, right. You know, investing in Goldman Sachs at this point, I think, is a great investment. And so far, I think we're up about 6 to 7% on the investment, and it's only been about a month.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so being a part of the SMF, has that had any impact on your personal portfolio with you, like, changing your perspective now?
Definitely. Yeah, so I've gone, you know, full out, and I've changed my whole strategy
mm-hmm.
Because I am younger. I can take on more risk in my portfolio. And, you know, I've changed my Roth IRA to have a more aggressive outlook. So, you know, I've changed, like, the risk dynamic of it. It being able to, because as, you know, my professor, Blake Mather, says, we all have an underfunded liability program or underfunded liability problem. The reason is that since there's a lot of baby boomers and there's not as many of us, we aren't going to be able to support them. So we're going to have to pay more taxes, and it's going to be harder for us to retire.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to find ways to create alpha have a big fund when we retire.
Yeah, that's definitely smart. I know in this day and age, it's constantly in the news talking about rising home prices. You know, everything's getting harder for our generation. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the older generation really understands how much this impacts our thought process going into the future. I know for me personally, going into college, I was like looking at stuff increasing. I'm looking like, whoa, am I going to be able to afford a home?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the scary part nowadays, especially over here in, like, the Fairfield County part of Connecticut.
Yeah, it's absurd.
You got homes going for $700,000, you know, like, and that's the normal. And you're not getting any good
amount. And people buy it, like, they use cash to buy those.
Exactly.
Houses too.
That's crazy, you know. So I have another question for you. And that's just going to be, like, if you had that defining moment that changed your perspective on life so far, can you tell me about it?
Yeah. So, honestly, I think coming to UConn, having the opportunity to be a part of the SMF, to be a part of the Financial Management Club, and it's opened a lot of doors for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just at the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, I was on the floor. It was an awesome experience. And that's, you know, like, just seeing that in person, that'll change a person's life forever. Because, like, you see it on TV, you know, like, everyone has seen The Wolf of Wall Street, you know, they've seen The Big Short and these movies. But when you're actually there and like you're in the room where it happens, that's a Hamilton, line. But, you know, it's crazy. You know, it really changes your perspective on, you know, what you want in life.
No, definitely. Talking about what you want in life, like, what are your future ambitions that you foresee for yourself?
Yeah, definitely. So I think, most importantly, enjoying what I'm doing in life and in work. Have a good, you know, work-life balance. You know, it's tough, you know, the first few years out of college to have that balance, but just try your best to have that balance. And you know, ultimately, I would love to be in corporate finance for a little bit and then eventually transition into private equity. That's my goal, and you know, it's pretty obtainable, as long as I, you know, put my mind to it, and yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I feel like your dreams, you can make your dream a reality. Exactly. You know, anyone can. Especially if you're listening to this, I want you to remember, your dreams are possible. All you have to do is go out there and just go get it, really. Exactly. You know, and I want to bring you back to maybe freshman year. And knowing what you know now, what would you tell your freshman year self to motivate you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if I was able to tell my freshman year self something, it would be, don't be afraid to reach out to alumni. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there, because that's the one thing. Alumni, they would love to help you. We both have been invited to go to the UConn football games, and we're in the suites, and we're meeting with the president of UConn. You know, like, we've met with, you know, all these great people at UConn, and you wouldn't have gotten these experiences without networking and putting yourself out there. So that just goes to show, if you are confident in yourself and your abilities, you will get places.
No, definitely. I just feel like the confidence aspect is so important. Yes. I know for myself, even though my freshman year, like, I sometimes wish I could go back and be like, hey, you were here, please be more confident. Exactly. You knew what was attainable at the time, but why didn't you go out there and go get it?
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
That's just a big thing. I have another thing I want to ask you is just like, what question would you like to ask the next guest coming on? This, you could ask them any single question. I'll ask them at the start of the episode.
Okay. One question.
Yeah.
This is a biggie.
Okay.
Let's see. What's one thing in your professional or college experience so far that you wish you could go back and redo, if there is anything?
That's a loaded question to start there. So that's loaded.
No, you can wait till the end. But like, I know for me, like, I'm big in, you know, going with your gut, doing what you think is right, ethically.
Yeah.
For sure. So I think going with your gut is the best thing to do. And like, you shouldn't really have any regrets, because if you're thinking about what you're doing and you're taking time thinking about it, and you're, you know, it's thoughtful, you shouldn't have regrets. But you know, things happen.
No, I agree. Definitely, we have all had regrets in life, and you segue right into the next one. It's like, when you're in a rough patch in life, you know, because I know we've all been in it, and evidently we will be in it in the future as well, as we're still young. How did you get yourself out of that rut? You know, I know there's definitely a ton of people listening right now who maybe are in a rough patch or just got out of one and just need that uplifting from another person.
Definitely. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a big family guy, so I rely on my family, you know, my mom, my dad, my sisters, stepmom, you know, aunts, uncles, grandparents. You know, I rely on them for support, you know, at being close to them, and them offering, you know, their time to you, is huge. And, you know, they have a lot more experience than I do in, you know, real life, and that's huge. Being able to, you know, just to communicate to people in real life, it doesn't have to be, you know, in business or marketing or a finance sense, just being able to connect with people. And they have a lot of experience. I think the one thing that a lot of people our age lack is the ability and the confidence to, you know, speak to anyone that's older than you or that you think is in a higher position than you. Because ultimately, you have to be confident in yourself, as we said. Mm-hmm. You can't think you are lower than anyone, because you're not. You're on the same playing field. Like, they may have more money, they may have more accolades, but, you know, we're all human beings. Mm-hmm. You just have to be comfortable going up to that person and speaking to them.
Dude, that was beautiful. I love that, hearing that. And I just want to say thank you for being on the Inspire Show.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a great time, you know, and I hope to have you on here again. And awesome. For the listeners listening right now, I just want to remind you guys that Alex said it best. We are all human beings. We are all learning on a daily basis. Go out there and go get what you want.